Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are answering the question, is holiness a requirement for the Christian? Well, Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So that's pretty clear. So yes, holiness is a requirement for the Christian. However, there are two types of holiness. First, we are positionally holy because we are in Christ. There is a holiness that comes from our salvation provided by Jesus. Now, this holiness we cannot earn. It is by God's grace. It is a holiness whereby we have been set apart or separated from sin and consecrated to God. Now, secondly, there is a holiness of character. It is a conduct befitting those to walk in that would be pleasing to the Lord. We are to renew our mind with His Word, avoid sin, guard our eyes and ears, and guard our heart, and think on things that are true, just, pure, lovely, and of good report.
Yes, and you know, this practical holiness, Bill, is up to us. Our holiness is demonstrated by our willingness and our availability to God. I mean, we live for Him. We're available to receive His instructions and obey them. This is a continual development of our character of God by our daily commitment to Him and by practicing His Word. We should be in pursuit of a holy, honorable lifestyle to Him.
That's right. You know, the Believer's Bible Commentary says, the believer becomes positionally holy at the time of his conversion. He is set apart to God from the world. Then there is a practical sanctification. This is what we should be day by day. We should separate ourselves from every form of evil. This holiness should be progressive.
And I like what 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13, it states, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. So we see that when we show love, that this reveals we are holy, we are set apart, we are different from the world. Do we show love to our neighbor, our brother, and even our enemies? Do we pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us, as Matthew 5:44-45 instructs? This establishes the holiness of character.
That's right. You know, are we quick to forgive those that are ugly to us?
Exactly.
Those type of things. You know, Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary says, here the exercise of love is declared to be the means God uses to develop likeness to Christ and His children. The Lord enable you more and more to spend your lives in the interests of others in order that He may so establish you in Christian character now. Now that you have been vindicated from every charge that might possibly be brought against you at the judgment seat of Christ. So that Vines is backing up the verse we just talked about. That
1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. I like how it words it. It expounds upon it even greater.
Right. So we are to walk in holiness.
And 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So that's in all manner of, not only conversation speaking, but in how we live.
That's right. In Philippians 2:12-13 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we see by this verse that God works in conjunction with us to do His will.
I like that, yes. And then also Romans 6:19 says, even so now yield your members. So this is something we do, yield our members, servants, to righteousness and holiness. And Romans 6:22 goes on, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life.
That's good. That's good. And 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, but God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And one more verse, Romans 6:12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin.
So we have to have faith in his grace that empowers us to resist the sin and dominate our flesh, right? Through
That's
these
right.
verses and live according to, you know, in a way that would please God.
That's right. But it's, it's an effort on our part also to obey, to do this.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we do know Jesus is coming very, very soon. You know, he told you that as well, Bill, right? In your vision, 23 minutes in hell.
He did. That's the last thing he said. Tell them I'm coming very, very soon.
And we know Jesus is not coming for those married to the world. I mean, listen to some of the things Jesus said in the seven letters to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. He said to the church of Ephesus, if they would not repent, he would remove their candlestick. That doesn't sound good.
No.
He said to the church of Smyrna to be faithful unto death. He said to the church of Pergamos to repent, or he will fight against them with the sword of his mouth. He said to the church of Thyatira, except they repent, he will cast them into great tribulation. He said to the church of Sardis to repent, and if they overcome, he will not blot them out of the book of life.
Boy, that's strong.
Yeah, it is. He said to the church of Philadelphia to hold fast. He said to the church of Laodicea to repent, that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Boy, so we see the warnings to the church and the severe consequences if we don't repent. Now, this should be a wake-up call for all of us to walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, one of the things we as Christians are to do is to keep our word. And, you know, it reminds me of a story I think I'd like to share. You know, there was a time when I was selling my home. This was before we were married, when I was by myself. And I put the house up for sale. Two agents came by, showed it with their people. They left. The one agent called back and said, Bill, I have a full price offer and all cash, just the way you wanted. So can I come by and you sign it? And I said, yes, if it's just the way we talked. So I said, come on over. So now 5 minutes after I hung up, the other agent called and said, Bill, I have all cash offer, $10,000 higher than your asking price. Can I come over and you sign it? I said, well, you know, I just gave my word to the other agent and she's on her way. And she says, but, you know, I've got $10,000 more. What is her offer? And I said, well, hers is full price. But she goes, you're going to turn down $10,000 more? I said, but I've kept my word. You know, I got to keep my word. And she's on her way over here now. So I did that. I signed it. And that was not easy, to be honest with you, to turn down the other 10, but I just felt in my heart to keep my word. Well, it turned out 15 years later, I'm walking in a restaurant and there's a table of people there and the pastor of the church that I attended. And he was with all these people. And this one woman stood up and says, you're Bill Weiss. And I said, yes. And she goes, I'm the agent that you turned down an offer of $10,000 more on back 15 years ago. She said, I just want you to know that I was not a Christian then, but I went out to dinner that night with my friend who was a Christian, and she was talking about how Christians keep their word. And she said, it struck me so strongly that I was just with a Christian that did just that to his own hurt. And so she said, I just want you to know that I got saved that very night. I became a Christian.
That's powerful.
So, I mean, who would know, you know, after all that time,
15 years,
I would run into her and God would show me the fruit of keeping your word. How important it is, you know, a salvation, a person's life is much more valuable than any money.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, you know, part of your conduct to walk holy.
Right.
That was such a witness to her.
You know, Psalms 15, verse 4 and 5 says, he that swears to his own hurt shall never be moved. And then Proverbs 15, 27 says, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. So, you know, that could have greedy, you know, to want to get that extra 10 but break my word.
That's so good. Those are great verses for that too.
Right.
You know, and Jesus said to love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourself, right?
Or right.
Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, just these two commandments alone take an entire lifetime to learn and to do.
Right.
And to practice. And to practice on a regular basis. I mean, we are instructed not to judge anyone or we will be judged. Forgive anyone or we will not be forgiven. Repent of our sins or they will remain. To have faith in God.
That's right.
There's so many instructions in the word that are part of our holy conduct and is a witness to the world.
Exactly. God's word has also commanded us to share the way of salvation with others. That's so important, people's eternal lives. You know, there are many other things he has directed us to do to help others and to be a light in a dark world.
And here you didn't even share the gospel with that lady, but your actions spoke so loud
that
she ended up getting saved. So that is a lot of our witness.
It is. Most of our witness is through our life example. Do we keep our word? Do we show up on time for work? Do we work with excellence? Do we stay extra for work? Do we forgive others that are ugly to us? Do we love those that are mean and so forth to us? That's our witness. You know, holiness is a requirement for the Christian life, but God has given us the grace or the ability to walk in it. It's not in our strength, it's in his.
Yes, and Hebrews 12:28 says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and in godly fear.
Right, it's the grace that enables us to do just that. Then 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.